Yo, what's good? We're back. Triple P, Paul Pickett podcast. Let me get comfortable here. It's like super early in the morning. Couldn't sleep. It's like 6:43 a.m. What the hell? We're gonna go ahead and get episode 13 out the way. Triple P podcast. Don't forget, check out New Litter Apparel. It's the New Litter Apparel, newlitter.com. Let me get some orange juice, some vitamin C in my belly. First thing I want to talk about, the trade. Stafford for Goff. I mean, like I said in the last episode, there's a lot of teams that's moving off from their quarterback. And so early in the morning, I was about to say their center. But they're moving off of their quarterback. And I mean, it's a shame that you could be a quarterback for a team in a Super Bowl like 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, like 2 years later, like the team's already given up on you, you know, via Goff, Jared Goff. And same thing with, looks like Garoppolo over there. It's like, you know, Garoppolo just had him in the Super Bowl last year. It already looks like, you know, 49ers don't have that much faith in Garoppolo. But let's look at this trade. How much more of an upgrade is Stafford than Goff? I mean, Stafford is more experienced. Stafford is he's a slinger. He's definitely a better quarterback. He ain't afraid to go for it. You know, Goff seems to just play it safe. But I don't know that this really gets the Rams over the hump. I mean, because you traded the third best quarterback in the division just to possibly get the third best quarterback in the division. He's not better than Russell Wilson. Stafford isn't. And I don't know that he's better than Kyler Murray. So let me get a sip of orange juice while we think about that one. I don't know that he's better than Kyler Murray. I don't know that. Kyler Murray looks pretty legit. He looks like he's going to turn things around for Arizona. So does this get Rams to the Super Bowl? I mean, Rams had the number one defense, but look what happened to the number one defense when they went up against the Packers. You know, it didn't look like the number one defense. And Aaron Donald, if he gets hurt, if he's injured any, like, just part of any kind of playoff game or a Super Bowl game, man, your chances are slim to none. You're like, you don't have a number one defense no more without Aaron Donald. That's for sure. So, I mean, and then Rams gave up the picks. I mean, they all in. I mean, don't get me wrong. Rams were just in the Super Bowl. They felt like they could have won the Super Bowl. They didn't. So, and you were two games away from the Super Bowl this year. So, yeah, you know, upgrade the quarterback, go all in. I feel sorry for Goff. I mean, he's got to go to the Lions. You know, like, I'm 42 years old, and as long as I can remember, Lions ain't never been good. I can't remember the Lions winning one playoff game since I've been alive. I mean, they had Barry Sanders. They had Megatron. They had two, you know, outstanding players in a franchise at one point, but they never had much around them. Barry Sanders didn't have nothing. He had no legit quarterback when he was there. And the defenses were just average. They weren't great, you know. So, like, the Lions have been one of the worst teams in the NFL my whole life. Because, I mean, even a lot of teams that were pretty pathetic, like, a lot of my life growing up, like the Buccaneers were pretty pathetic. Then they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And then they, you know, they go pathetic again, but they get a Brady back. You know, like, that's the thing. Once you win one Super Bowl, like, you're a little less pathetic. Like, you get that little urge to really try to get there again. You know, like, the Detroit Lions ain't never had no Super Bowl, you know. And I mean, the Browns have been pretty pathetic most of my my life. You know, I remember when the Chiefs weren't really that good, and look at them now, you know. So, like, yeah, man, like, Detroit Lions, though, just always been, even when I was first growing up, when I was super young, Patriots were the bums of the NFL. I don't even know how they made it to the Super Bowl in 85 against the Bears. I mean, they got demolished 50-something to whatever the score was, you know, like, and every other year I can remember, they were terrible. They were pathetic. Then they got, you know, Drew Bledsoe. And the coach, I forgot the coach that they had before Parcells. Oh yeah, Parcells, that's the name. What am I talking about? Before Belichick, you had Parcells. Parcells, you know, he kind of changed it around. Then Belichick took over, and they've been good ever since. But now they're about to go into this back to where they were at. They're gonna look like the Patriots before Parcells and Belichick and Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe took him to a Super Bowl once before Brady, and he lost. But he still took him to the Super Bowl. And think about it. They went to the Super Bowl in 85 was the Super Bowl. Last time they went to Super Bowl before that, you know. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Rams are all in. Goff's got to go to the Lions. I mean, yeah, they got some picks, but do I got faith and confidence that the Lions will pick the right players and they'll put some pieces around Goff and, you know, they could possibly get to the playoffs? No, I have no confidence whatsoever. Like, I don't think Goff will be on that team no longer than his contract. Once his contract's up, he'll probably be gone, if not traded like last year's contract. I mean, I'm just not seeing it. Like, there's just too many teams this year that need a new quarterback. They're not sold on a quarterback. Because, see, this is the problem. Man, you got Patrick Mahomes out there. You got a lot of good young cats coming up. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You got Herbert. You know, you got a lot of good young quarterbacks. It just how good it just being that Patrick Mahomes is so great and how good he is. Like, you know, you got to find a legit quarterback nowadays, man, or you won't stand a chance. You still got Tom Brady balling out at his old age. You still got Aaron Rodgers balling out at his old age. You still got Russell Wilson. I mean, you got a lot of good quarterbacks in the league right now. There's a lot of teams that got their quarterback, and Deshaun Watson. Where he's going to end up, I don't know. But Deshaun Watson, franchise quarterback, you know. I mean, there's a lot of good young. Usually, two of these guys coming out every year are panning out. Back in the days, it was never like that. You could have four or five quarterbacks come out in the draft sometimes, and none of them pan out. You know. So. Do I think Rams are going to win with Stafford? No. Do I think the Lions are going to get anywhere better with Goff than they've been through the whole history of the Lions? No. I think they're going to be terrible the remainder of my lifetime. I mean, I know it's a sad and, I guess, hateful thing to say, as people want to say. It's a hate speech, a hate comment. But now I'm just stating the facts. Like, these guys, I'm 42 years old, and Detroit Lions have never been good. Thinking 42 more years to go by, and they'll still never be good. You know, it starts from ownership all the way down, you know. But enough with the Goff trade, the Stafford trade. Let's get into the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday, I got the Chiefs winning. If Tom Brady wins, clearly he's the greatest football player and quarterback of all time. And clearly Patrick Mahomes will never catch him. And if Mahomes wins, then the debate and discussion is going to be open. Because I'm thinking if Mahomes only wins like five Super Bowls and goes to all of them and wins all of them, he's the he'll go down as the GOAT just because of what he's done so early. I mean, 42 years old. I've seen a nice amount of quarterbacks, but I've never seen a guy come into the league this much confidence, poise, dominance. You know, and he's, you know, he's a good kid. He's got a good personality. He's a team guy. He's confident and cocky, plus he's humble. He's got some humbleness to him, you know. So that's good, you know. And he's raised the bar so high now, because I mean, going to a second Super Bowl, people already talking about this guy can pass, you know, Montana and Brady and Elway. Still got to pass Elway too, because Elway, I mean, Elway went to a lot of Super Bowls too. You know, Elway won back-to-back, and winning back-to-back is really one of the hardest things to do in the league, you know. But I think this Super Bowl is going to be determined by the Tampa Bay defense is what's going to determine this game. If Tampa Bay can slow down, and not really just stop the Chiefs, they got to slow them down. They could giving them three and outs, like two straight possessions, and Brady and them can score on like every other possession, at least a field goal. Yeah, man, Tampa Bay can win this game. And you know, you get past the top five players in the Super Bowl, like Tampa Bay, seven on down is got it locked. You know, I mean, once you get past, you know, the wide receivers, the top wide receivers and the two quarterbacks, I'm telling you, man, it's all Tampa Bay on the other side on defense and whatnot. And Tampa Bay definitely has the better defense. So I'm thinking defense is definitely – Tampa Bay's defense is going to determine if Tampa Bay wins. They're really going to determine if Tampa Bay wins. You know, I mean, this is crazy, you know, like, you know, then they're having the Brady and Belichick debate, you know, who now they talking about, like, Danny and Amendola talking about Brady's the Patriot way, so they think it's a shot at Belichick. I mean, I just think, like, you know, it's kind of like this, you know, Tim Duncan was the Spurs way. Yeah, Popovich might be the guy that implements this plan in effect. But your star player has to be the guy who buys into this, because that's the player that everybody else is going to buy into. If the star player is buying into you being this hard coach, you coaching it hard, and he's taking the criticism just like everybody else. He's taking the blame like everybody else, you know, the accountability like everybody else, then it could work. But without that star player buying in, it doesn't work. So I agree with that. Like, the Patriot way is the Brady way. Yeah, Belichick, you know, like, first of all, Belichick's Patriot way didn't work at Cleveland. You know, and it might work. It might have worked on the defense in New York, but once again, you had Lawrence Taylor, probably the greatest defensive player ever, who played for my favorite college of all time, University of North Carolina Tar Heels, greatest player we ever had come out of there, and he had to buy into it. Like, if your top player doesn't buy into the philosophy a coach is preaching, then it's not going to work. So I agree, like, the Patriot way is the Brady way. Because without seeing Brady buying into it, everybody's not going to buy into it. People start seeing, they come into the Patriot locker room and they start, oh, well, Brady ain't buying into the Patriot way. He ain't being held accountable. Then guess what? Other people are going to feel like that's not fair, and they're not going to want to be held accountable. You know, that's just how it works. It's all or none. You know, when you talk about accountability for a team, it's all or none. We're either all accountable for a loss or none. you know, and that's how it works. So, yeah, man, I mean, this is, there's a lot of greatness on the line for this Super Bowl. Cause like I said, if Brady wins, there's no way in hell that Patrick Mahomes, as great as he's going to be, passes Brady. You know, when you let the old man beat you, you know, you the young, fresh pup in your prime and you let the old man beat you, you know, who's still gonna take it. Tom Brady, grand, you know, Father Time. That's what we're gonna start calling him. Father Time, Tom Brady, you know. But yeah, man, I got the Chiefs winning this. If the Bucks win, it would be because of the defense. And if the Bucks win, Brady's clearly the GOAT. There's no question. And he's clearly the GOAT right now just because of what he's done for Tampa Bay this year. I mean, I've never seen a player in the NFL except maybe like Deion Sanders, like go to a team and just win instantly the next year and have an impact to winning, you know, the next year. Deion Sanders, and he played defense. And Tom Brady's the only – I've never seen no quarterback, no running back, no receiver just go to a team. I mean, Randy Moss went to the Patriots, and they dominated, but they lost in the Super Bowl. They went undefeated, but they lost in the Super Bowl. So, you know, that point doesn't really work because they didn't win, you know. All right, let me get into some NBA. I know last time I talked about the Heat, they're not looking good. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're not looking good. I think we talked about Giannis and the Bucks. They get Drew Holiday, and it's just still not going to be enough. Philly, Boston, or the Celtics are coming out the East. Those are the top three teams in the East, clearly. Zion, they won the other day. They beat the Suns. Zion leads all players in the NBA with scoring in the paint, 17 a game in the paint. I mean, like, that's crazy. That's unstoppable. That means you can't be stopped. You scoring 17 in the paint every night, 17 in the paint. I mean, you got dudes can't even score 17 points a game, period, a night, 17 in the paint. I like where Charlotte's going, man. I'm finally excited and ecstatic and confident that Charlotte's going to start getting things rolling in the right place. LaMelo Ball is starting now because scary Terry Rozier's hurt, and which is good. Melo gets to start, gets more experience. I like what I see, man. I'm liking what I see from LaMelo. He averages more already than Lonzo as a rookie. I mean, Lonzo's putting up worse numbers than he is right now, fourth year in the league, whatever it is. You know, like, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing from LaMelo, man. Very unselfish. He's not really trying to force the issues yet. He's not trying to really force it. Just trying to be a ball hog, aggressive, and nothing. I think he's going to be a very, very well-balanced, complete player. Could rebound, could pass the ball, can score. All he's got to work on is his jump shot. Mid-range jump shot and threes, and he's going to be just fine. See, Dallas won. Dallas ain't looking too good. Dallas, you know, yeah, Porzingis has been hurt most of the season, but they lost Seth Curry. That doesn't help, you know. So they definitely lost a key piece, and they probably lost another piece that I'm missing. Dallas needs to put more around Luka. Clippers lost to the Nets. I've never been sold on the Clippers, man. Like, yeah, Kawhi, Paul George, they're good. They got good pieces around him. But I've never been sold on Paul George come crunch time. And, I mean, I don't see – Clippers ain't going to stop no Nets. I mean, it's going to be hard to stop James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving from scoring. You got to pick your poison. You almost need to just try to shut down one player, and I'm thinking like James Harden or something, because he seems like the guy who crunch time produces the least. What we got here? Knicks beat Chicago, Houston. Let's go to the standings here. We got Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston, Pacers, and Hawks. I think that'll be your top six teams all year long. And it'll be a back and forth probably between – I'm thinking Brooklyn's going to end up taking over the number one seed probably. And you'll have a back and forth between Philly and Milwaukee for that number two. Atlanta made so many offseason moves that they better stay in the playoff hunt. They need to stay at six. You got Cleveland. Cleveland actually still looks pretty decent. But Charlotte's moving up, man. I like Charlotte's chances of making the playoffs this year. And if Charlotte makes the playoffs this year, it'll be because the acquisitions of Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball, clearly. Chicago still doesn't look good. Toronto's starting to win a little bit more games, but you know, they're 6-4 in their last 10. The two-game winning streak. Maybe they get a winning streak up going and they'll bump up. Toronto's a little too good to be where they are. Same thing with Miami, but Miami has their best player that has been hurt. Washington's on a two-game winning streak. I'd like to see Washington start getting things together and start winning. I mean, we got to forget Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. They've only played 18 games in the season, and they ain't even played 18 games together this year. So, you know, Utah in the West, number one. They're 9-2 at home. 7-3 on the road, 9-1 the last 10. Clippers, Lakers. Lakers could stay around the three seed. I'm comfortable with that all year long. Anthony Davis, I know people are like worried because they thought he was going to be scoring more this year and stepping up, going for MVP. But I think he's going more like the LeBron route, trying to get more championships and saving himself, you know, more in the regular season, which he could do. You just picked up Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, and we still got KCP. You know, you got Kyle Kuzma. You got a lot of other guys who could pick up the scoring slack, you know, and that would like to pick up the scoring slack and need to prove their game as well, like Kuzma, you know. Denver, they won't. I'm still not convinced in Denver this year because Jamal Murray is just, he's not the same Jamal Murray as last year. Maybe playoff time, he'll get it together. Memphis is still only played. They're 9-7. They're holding at 5, but they played a lot less games than everybody still. You know, Phoenix, they're holding at 6. You got Portland, San Antonio, Golden State, Houston. I mean, the West is going to be tough this year, man. It's going to be so tough. I mean, I see all those teams competing for that slot. Portland, San Antonio, Golden State. Then you got the play-in thing this year, you know. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, man. I think Memphis moves out that 5 slot. I think they just ain't played a lot of games and ain't got a tougher schedule yet. I don't think they're really better than Golden State, Houston, Spurs, and Portland. And they're still young, too. New Orleans Pelicans, I mean, I don't know what's going on with them, man. They're 8-12. They're going to be picking high in the lottery again next year. So is Minnesota. Minnesota, New Orleans, and Detroit and Washington going to be picking for the top pick next year. I mean, Dallas is not even – they're number 13 right now. They're not even looking good right now. They're 9-13, the 13th seed. You know, they definitely got to get more around Luka. Like, Mark Cuban's going to have to look into making moves next year. He really is. I would think Sacramento would be like better this year. Like, you would think, you know, they're more experienced. They just got Tyrese Halliburton and they're just like still not showing that they can make the playoffs, man. They're still missing some. I guess they're missing a big man. They need a better big man. Yeah, this is Orlando's falling down like I knew they would. Yeah, they look good at the beginning of the season, but come on, man. This is a star-driven league. They don't really got no stars on Orlando. Charlotte's got more stars than them. LaMelo Ball, baby. Okay. Yeah, man, I really feel sorry for Milwaukee, though, man. Like, you go out at get Drew Holiday, and it's just not going to be enough, man. Yeah, they're 13-8. They're going to have a good regular season, but I don't think they could beat Philly, Brooklyn, or Boston. Jaylen Brown, you know, and some of these teams, man, some of these teams only got losses and the record is only what it is because it is COVID protocols. You know, and that's the thing with Memphis. They're only 9-7 because these COVID protocols, they've had to cancel so many games and whatnot. You know, teams ranked 7-10 will participate in a play-in tournament at the end of the regular season. Oh, teams ranked 7 through 10. So, okay, so like Portland, San Antonio, Golden State, and Houston would be in the play-in right now. And whoever win that, two of those would go. And like right now it would be Cleveland, Charlotte, New York, and Toronto. And I would see, like that's the thing, Toronto on a play-in could easily win that. They got the experience, you know. So, yeah, man, that's really what's going on in the NBA. You got the NFL, you know. Don't forget, you know, you're on YouTube, subscribe. In that right-hand corner, hit that subscribe button. Also, you know, follow us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, Slacker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and several other platforms. Also, the videos show up on Facebook, our Facebook page, Instagram TV as well, Twitter, you know. Get into baseball a little bit. I seen a little baseball news. I guess they had a union discussion. I guess they offered like the start later and less games, but the players are just so content on not giving in ever that they said no. They're not starting late. They're going to start regular time, and they're going to play the full game. So they could have played less games. They could have played, like, less games and got paid for the regular amount of games you would play, but play less games, and it would start later. But, you know, they just don't like to give in at all, man. Whatsoever, you know, it's already, I mean, baseball is already so different in every sport. There's no salary cap in baseball, you know, like that's why the Yankees and Boston and all these major markets are always so good, because major markets got more money to spend on players than these smaller markets. I mean, you've seen it, like with the movie with the Oakland A's, Billy Bean, Moneyball with Brad Pitt, you know. Like, when he goes in and he asks the owner for a little bit more money, and, like, look, the owner's like, look, man, you're not going to get it, you know. This is the amount of money you're going to get to try to win, and, you know, it is what it is, you know. I mean, it's really a bad way to look at things if you want to win a championship for a team, man. You really got to go in all in or not, you know what I'm saying? At least got to go in all in for 1 year to try to win a championship, or a couple years or something, you know, even if you got to pay salary taxes, luxury taxes or whatever, you know. But yeah, baseball is just so different. No salary cap. The players never really, they're not trying to give in nothing. Nothing. I mean, like, I literally would have, so you wanted me to, we would have started baseball a month late. I would have played less games and got paid for the full amount. That's like you go to work. You get paid for 80 hours, but you only work 60. I'm doing that all day long. You want to pay me for 80 hours and let me work 60? Of course, let's do it. But baseball players, man, their union is never giving in, man. They're not giving in. It's crazy. I don't know what the whole mindset philosophy of that is. They just want to make sure, you know, they have some control and the owners don't have all the control, I guess. I mean, like I said, it's enough that there's no salary cap. It's really, baseball is almost pretty unfair to me. I mean, because, you know, smaller markets are never going to have the money that bigger markets have unless some rich guy comes, buys the small market team, and is willing to, you know, go over the luxury taxes just to try to win a championship. But, you know, it's not always that case because, once again, you know, sports is part of the entertainment business. Buying a team is a business that generates revenue. So, you know, I don't know a business that just wants to lose money every single year. You know, maybe a year or two here and there just for the sake of winning the championship. But outside of sports world, ain't nobody trying to lose money to win no championships, man. Or just to look like a winner. Ain't nobody trying. You ain't really, outside of the sports world, if you lose the money, you ain't winning. So it's like the sports world is the only place that you could lose money and win. Like the Warriors playing over the luxury taxes and stuff. And did they really lose money? Because they probably generated a ton still. They probably generated a profit. They just, you know, probably went into their profit margin with the luxury taxes, you know, and whatnot. But y'all don't really talk baseball much. You're not going to really hear me talk baseball. I know there was that trade recently. I don't know the player's name, and I do not remember the teams, except one was, I think, the Cardinals, and it just looked so lopsided. Like, the trade was so lopsided. And that trades are always usually lopsided. It's very rare in sports that you don't see a lopsided trade, you know. Like, either one team is just getting the star and the rest are getting – the other team is just getting a bunch of pieces and picks, you know. So, like, the Nets trade, the Harden trade was pretty lopsided. There was – I mean, Harden was the only All-NBA player – in the trade, and the only team that got him was the Nets. None of the other teams got an All-NBA player on there. Victor Oladipo might have been All-NBA 1 year, but he ain't no more. And Caris LeVert ain't never been All-NBA and might not, probably would never ever go his career for being All-NBA. I mean, Caris LeVert top 15 in the league? I mean, hey, I'm not saying I don't wish it on him. I don't wish that Caris LeVert be a top 15 player in the league. But is it likely? Is it realistic? I don't know that it is, you know. So trades are always usually lopsided. Usually only one team always gets the star player out of the deal, and everybody else is getting pieces and picks, you know. But, yeah, don't forget, hit the subscribe button in the right-hand corner. Check us out on Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Amazon Music, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Slacker. You can Google Paul Pickett Podcast, twitter.com/PaulPPodcast, Facebook Paul Pickett Podcast as well. You know, once again, this podcast goes on Facebook, Instagram. My dog has stepped into the podcast. Once again, she stepped up. She wants to everybody to know that Gia is in the building. This is my dog, Gia. This is my little buddy. She's also the mascot for my New Litter Apparel. Check out newlitter.com, my New Litter Apparel. Also, check out my marketing site, promopalace.biz, indiecastle.net, planetplaylist.com. Once again, I'm your host, Paul Pickett. This is the Triple P Podcast, Paul Pickett Podcast. Hit that subscribe button in the right-hand corner, and we out.